This call is being recorded by the meeting organizer. By staying on the call, you are giving your consent to being recorded.
Presentation mode is now enabled.
Good morning. This is Gloria Spratley Brown, and I will serve as your webinar facilitator today. Today's webinar will cover the 2016-17 FICAP funding opportunity, also known as the Florida Integrated Career and Academic Preparation System. Today we will have several presenters to speak with you. Myself, Gloria Spratley Brown, as well as Zelda Rogers, who is the Director of Adult Education here in the state of Florida. We'll also have Josue Cotterado, who is part of the developmental team and preparing the grant application and administering the competitive process. Today we will be using several resources as we go through the process. You should have the PowerPoint presentation that's located on our career and development website. We also have the actual request for application or request for proposal, which covers discretionary competitive grants. We do have two opportunities, one for adult general education as well as one strictly for English Literacy Civics Education. So as we're speaking between Zelda and myself, we may be toggling back and forth between those three documents. We will have an opportunity at the end of the call to open up for questions and answers, as well as we have the instant web process that if you have a question during the process, simply type in your question and we should be able to answer your question during the webinar. With that said, we'll proceed looking at the PowerPoint presentation. If you're on the call, then you have the call-in number and the conference code. As we move forward to slide 4, we ask you to put your phones on mute to minimize the background noise in your office. And the instructions are simple. You may press star 6 to place the call on mute and press star 6 to unmute the call. We do have the call on what we call conference mode at this time. So here in the webinar center, we do not hear any background noise. However, those individuals that are participating on the call, they will still hear your inner office background noise if you do not place your phone on mute. Again, if the process and the noise get too loud, please simply send us an email through our web system and we'll be able to see your question there and we will know to contact the operator so that we can assist you with the noise level. A quick overview of the agenda, as I am the facilitator, I mentioned that Zelda would talk specifically about the expectations and the components that we're looking for in the FICAP grant. I'll review the application itself, what you need to do to submit your proposal. Josue will come back and talk about the evaluation of our process and solicit to you for reviewers. We're looking for people that perhaps could be new administrators, new teachers in the adult ed profession or at your agency that will be able to assist us in selecting the best qualified candidate. On slide 6, our objectives and goals for today is to provide you with the information that you may submit a comprehensive application. We want to make sure that we provide you with all the pertinent programmatic information, the expectations for reporting, and what are the requirements to submit a good application. Slide 7 simply gives you an overview of the federal fund source that's used to fund this particular competitive funding source. As you are familiar with the reauthorization of the Workforce Investment Act, also known as the Workforce Innovation and Opportunities Act of 2014. I cannot believe it's been 2 years, but it's actually been 2 years for the reauthorization. And more specifically, Title II of that act covers adult education and family literacy. So that's where the fund source for this opportunity comes from. Slide 8, what's the purpose and what are we trying to do here as we continue to implement some of the integrative and requirements of WIOA? Again, the purpose is to implement, design, an integrated education and training program within our FICAPS arena, also known as Florida Integrated Career and Academic Preparation System. We have two requests for proposals. We have, again, I mentioned the AGE, which is the Adult General Education, and the English Literacy Civics Education. They are separate. You must submit them separately. So if you wish to offer services under the Adult General, you have to submit Adult General application. If you require and wish to submit English Literacy and Civics, separate. Who are we targeting here? As Zelda will go into more specifics on it, but as you recall here on the request for a proposal, we know that we are targeting those adult students enrolled in our GED integrated course, that pre-test at a minimum of ninth grade. Again, as we look at the integration model, we know that at that level, the adult is prepared and ready to handle a more integrated instructional approach. Eligible requirements for the FICAP students are the same for those students enrolled in our adult education program. And when you look at that, we're looking at, found on slide 10, some of the eligibility. We know that all enrollees in our programs must meet the minimum standards of 16 year age or older and not required or not enrolled in a secondary school program. We also know, and these are standard things that are required under the Adult Education and Family Literacy Act. They carry over through this particular program. Lack the basic skills, do not have a secondary diploma, and unable to speak, read, or write in the English language. Who's eligible to apply? Found in law, we have a variety of eligible providers. As you look on this list, you are to determine if your agency meets one or more of the following categories. Under the new WIOA, partnerships between an employer and entities of these listed above is an added eligible provider. So as you look amongst these, perhaps there is an employer that's interested in partnering with you and submit the application. Slide 12 gives you a general idea of the amount of funds that we receive for the 16-17 funding year from the federal government. This just simply says that we got about $29 million. We put $7 million in English Literacy and Civics and about $31 million in Adult General Education. I'll pause at this time, and Zelda's going to go over more specific and programmatic expectations of the applicants submitting for this funding source. Zelda?
Thank you, Gloria. I want to spend a few moments just talking about the components that go into the FICAPS model and some of the decision points that you'll make along the way. Many of you are familiar with this diagram, as we've shown that in several presentations over the year. But I would encourage you to go out and look at the IBETS model from Washington State, because that is the model that we designed ours afterwards. They've had lots of success with their program. And even in the RSP itself, we've got a link to that. So you can go in and look at a lot of these different elements and get more information on them. I'll start off with the leadership team. Many of you already have a Career Pathways Advisory Team from 5 years ago or 6 years ago, whenever we had another grant for developing Career Pathways. So that should be expanded to include all the partners that you will need for this initiative. Student Support Services, this is something that we already do in adult education. But here, you might include advisement on how you do applications for post-secondary education, financial aid, and all of those things that would remove barriers and assist them in going on to post-secondary education. Something else to consider is recruitment of students. You will want a really motivated student that will stick with this program, and we realize that in the very beginning, you may start off very small and have just a few students. It's good to get this model anchored down and look for students that you feel will be successful in this program. One of the issues that you will be faced with is how will your students pay for their tuition into the career and technical program. Braided funding, we are recommending that when you look at not only this RFP, but you can even look at the AGE and EL Civics and use some of those monies to help you with that. Ability to benefit has been restored. Many organizations are looking at that because that does require that a student be an adult education student working on their high school credential and going on and enrolling in a career and technical program or post-secondary program. So these are all decisions that you will make as you go along. Team teaching is something that we're looking at that with our grantees from last year and seeing the success we've had with that. But one of the things that you'll want to do very early on is collaborate with your career and technical partners and looking at how you can contextualize the curriculum in the LCATE and the GED, the integrated GED courses. So these are just some things that you should consider as you're designing what your program will look like. And a lot of these will be decisions that you'll make in the planning and design phase. On the applicant responsibilities, some of these things I have discussed already, but one of the things that we will want you to do is you're developing your curriculum with your federal dollars. We would like for you to be able to share that. And a lot of, I know from last year, we collected things from our grantees, and we do post those on our IPDAY website. We also would like for you to serve as a demonstration site once you've got your program up and running, so that people can come in and visit and see how to best design their programs as well. I want to stress again the importance of establishing those partnerships with your career and technical facilities, your business and industry, and other related organizations as you go in and develop your plan. One of the things that you really want to do is to make sure that your staff and everyone in your adult ed, your teachers and everything, that they understand about the post-secondary and the reason that we feel that this is an important goal for our adult education students. The GED or the high school diploma, this is just a starting point. So to really get a job that will help them get sustainable wages, they need to go in and get post-secondary education, even if it's that beginning certificate. Another thing that we will want you to do, we've got some reporting functions, and you can see that in the application itself, but develop a final comprehensive work plan. Now, some of you may want to use the entire year to do planning and design and to do all the things that are necessary, but others of you may be ready to start in the implementation phase. So if you do, it's the same requirements that you have when you enroll adult education students. So student intake with the WIOA data elements, and you can see that in the attachment. but we want to enroll students in the appropriate course, whether it's GED integrated or the El Cate course. And then you would want to report that student performance data. So team teaching, we want to encourage you to work with that. And then the final comprehensive work plan report on your student data. Okay. One of the things that you'll be doing is determining that career pathway. We want you to work with your Career Source Local Workforce Development Board, and the link is here to help you find that if you're not familiar with them and working with them already. But look at what those targeted high-growth industries are in your area and the in-demand occupations. So if you're going to develop a career pathway for your students to enroll in, you want to be sure that whenever they complete that, that there will be job opportunities out there for them. But the other thing that you're going to see is that your students have different career interests. So some of the smaller programs may just have to target one particular area, but some of the larger programs may be able to focus on multiple pathways. So all of these things should go into your decision making as you're determining what your career pathway will be for your students. Okay, the FICAPs, the AGE, and the EL Civic Goals are to assist our adult learners to obtain a post-secondary certificate and achieve gains more quickly. You can see that this is an accelerated program, and it certainly motivates them to see that they actually can go on to post-secondary and get those credentials that will help them to get a better job. We want to increase the number of students that also earn their high school equivalency diploma, or they acquire English language proficiency and begin the pathway to earn credentials that have labor market value. In other words, there will be job opportunities out there with the kind of credentials that they will be earning. Okay? So let me explain the difference between FICAPS AGE and FICAPS EL Civic. So if you're doing the AGE, you will enroll your students in the JEDI course. That's short for GED Integrated. We have the course number up there, and then a career and technical clock hour certificate program. And this could be offered at a technical center, a college, or a state college. And these are tied, as I mentioned earlier, to high growth, high wage industries. So our next slide is just a diagram of what this looks like with the JEDI. So you are enrolled in the JEDI course, the CTE course, and then you will earn an additional certificate or a GED diploma. Now we've been questioned, so what if they finish the GED before they finish the CTE course? That's okay because they've gotten that credential and they would continue on with their CTE course because they're actually enrolled in a post-secondary education program there. And we will be able to match students to the courses and if they're enrolled in post-secondary. So students must pretest at the grade equivalent of 9.0 or above in two of the subject areas, and that's in reading, mathematics, and language arts. Okay?
A point of clarity here, Zelda, I noticed and we had a question. In the request for proposal, the course number was 136, and then were you specifically talking about civics when the last three is 130?
Okay, 130, this is the JEDI course.
Okay, and the request for proposal for Adult General, it was 136.
Yeah, we will make a clarification of that. I'll check that as soon as I turn this back over to Gloria to make sure that we've got the correct number on there.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, the next slide. Now, in EL Civics, we made a change this year. We said that if you had a career and technical goal, you could enroll in El Cate if you tested out at level 5 and 6. Of the CASAS, the ESOL benchmarks. So we would want to enroll a student in the EL Cate course and a career and technical clock hour. So the only difference between the EL Civics and the AGE is the course that you enroll them in. Okay. The next slide is just showing you that that you want them to test out at the ESOL levels, high, intermediate, or advanced for enrollment in El Cate. And one thing I do want to point out here is you do not want to enroll your students in El Cate and ESOL at the same time. So it's an either-or situation. One of the things that we want to ensure that they have the academic skills necessary to enter into post-secondary is students must pretest at the ABE functioning level, high, intermediate, and this is the grade equivalent of 6.0 to 8.9. Okay. There is a basic skills requirement for CTE programs, so adults who enroll in CTE programs that are 450 hours or more, they will be required to meet the basic skills exit requirement. But if your student does finish their GED and they do earn that diploma, then they will not be required to meet this exit requirement. Okay? So in the implementation phase, we want to remind you that you would report your students just as if you would in any other adult education program, but you do want to report them using the GED integrated course number. And remember that students must be simultaneously enrolled in GED integrated and a career and technical education program or course. Okay? This is the same thing in the EL Civics, and they would be required to be enrolled in the El Cate course and a career and technical program or course. One thing that I do want to mention is that with LEOA, career pathways is no longer an option or a best practice. It is now a requirement. We'll be lending you additional guidance throughout the year on what this exactly means, because we know that some of the small programs may not be able to set up a FICAPS program the way that we're looking at. So that is something that we'll be offering additional guidance on. But if for people that are wanting additional information on this, we certainly want them to look at this, because it is a requirement, and this is an opportunity to get a little bit of funds to help you with the planning of it. So one of the things that we're planning, and we haven't gotten into any specifics on yet, but we wanted to have a FICAPS workshop for selected applicants. We wanted to bring in some of the experts in career pathways from last year, our own grantees, because we feel like a lot of people have looked at other states and what they're doing, but we're also building that expertise within our state. So we want to share best practices and advice on building the FICAPS. And the location and date will be determined after all the proposals are selected, but probably we'll have this in Tallahassee. But we'll let you know more about that as we make those specifics. Okay, now I'd like to turn that over to Gloria.
Thank you, Hilda. So what we're going to do at this part of the webinar is I'm going to actually work from the request from proposals to actually go over that document and highlight the specific area, some specific areas, and go over the requirements to submit your proposal. So the application, because it's competitive, they are due on August 5th, 2016. And that's a hard, fast date because of competition. We will not be able to accept any applications after August 5th. So our close of business on August 5th is standard 5 o'clock on August 5th. We will be scoring the applications via a web-based system. We've had volunteers over the years to volunteer and support that with us. You will have three independent reviewers looking at it, and we will take the average of the scores. You must have a minimum score of 70 to be considered for funding, so make sure that as you are responding to the various requirements in the application that you provide us with specific information and details so that the evaluator can effectively score your responses. The budget period will be from the date of receipt through June 30th. And the reason I say that is because the applications are required to come in until August 5th. So do note, do not start any funding associated with this particular application. Once you receive your award notification, it will tell you on what date through June 30th you are authorized to charge any expenditures associated with the implementation of this federal fund source. In preparing your application, please go out on our website. It's been uploaded. Please select the correct application. I often say that each proposal is assigned an address or a address number. We here at the department call it a TAPS number. So that TAPS number identifies which group your application will be reviewed. Whatever TAPS number is written on the DOE 100, that's the page that your agency head would sign, that is the batch that you will be reviewed under. In the event that you pull down the wrong application, it will be an unfortunate situation because you will be reviewed according to that batch number. So I caution you to make sure that you are extracting the correct application, save it to your desktop, and begin to respond there. And we've tried to put a checklist in the back of each application to kind of give you a guide of those items that are required and how to arrange your application so that as our reviewers are looking through it, they will be able to easily go through the document and score accordingly. To help us, we have some guidelines on how to submit. Because this is a competitive application, we will allow you to submit up to 30 pages. We do ask that you adhere to the formatting guidelines here on slide 28, and those guidelines are also repeated in the application. One of the things that I'd like to caution you to as you refer to the request for proposal, page 2, the requirements and responsibilities of the applicant. As we talked about two phases, perhaps, that we may receive application, planning and design phase or implementation. Do note that if you're in an implementation phase, that performance expectations, student intake forms, and all of those things will be expected. Implementation phase, those student records and performance will be calculated as part of your agency's performance calculation as well as the state's calculation. So as you're responding, one of the very first questions we ask you in the narrative section, as I turn to the narrative section, a lot of pages here. What phase are you in? And we do understand that a program may be in multiple phases. You may start out in the design phase, planning and design, and before the project year is over, you're in the implementation phase. So if that is the case, then you would actually check both boxes. You would say that I'm in the design and planning phase, and then before June 30th, I will be instructing, and I will be in the implementation phase. That will help us determine how to evaluate and what are the expectations for your agency. So as I'm looking at the narrative section, page 13 of the adult general application, it asks you to provide a one-page narrative of the overview of your program and to select which phase your program in. As part of the new requirement under WIOA, the Career Source Local Workforce Board alignment, that is a requirement. So we want you to make sure that you expound on how your program is working along with, in conjunction with, our local workforce board in delivering your adult ed program. And I think Zelda mentioned earlier, making sure that you access the link that's on the PowerPoint regarding the high-demand jobs in your area, to make sure that we are preparing and training our participants for those jobs. Under past experience, again, are you seasoned and delivering adult ed services? If you're not seasoned, have you partnered with another provider that perhaps has been in the business of delivering adult ed services? What are the needs, serving the most in need? What are the needs in your area? More specifically, letting us know how your program will support individuals with disabilities, individual with learning disabilities. So all of those things are important when responding to number four of those in need. And this is where we get into your performance goals and the expectation regarding your performance goals. And depending on which phase you're in will determine which set of rules would apply to you regarding performance expectations. Instructional practices. Pretty self-explanatory. The research, what are you using? I heard Zelda mention the IBEST model, retention, completion, and those sorts of things. Career pathway design. This is a critical area in the entire implementation of this model. So you will find that we've asked a number of questions in this particular area about truly, how is your program designed? How are you proposing to implement your program? Professional development, who you're collaborating with. The scope of your advisory, the responsibility of your advisory committee. So this is a heavy, heavy area here, number on page 15 of the expectations of the plan. Professional development and staffing. We want to make sure that we have the right administrators, the right teachers, the right counselors in place to provide the best possible learning experience for the participants. So please expound on that. Partnership is a huge, huge area here. One of the partnerships we know would be with some post-secondary education provider. So who are you partnering with to expose the participant or enroll the participant in that post-secondary experience? And again, here is an area that we talked about braided funding and the opportunity to not necessarily use all of your workforce development funds, your adult education and family literacy funds to support your post-secondary training. But your post-secondary providers also receive funding. It's a win-win for both of you because if you're offering this blended funding, blended instruction, you will receive a completer, perhaps, and hopefully the post-secondary provider will be providing the instruction and assisting the participants to also complete the program. So again, in that partnership, think about funding as well. Make sure that you have written clear agreements with your partners to make sure that everybody is aware of the expectations under the Memorandum of Understanding and who's going to play what part in the experience. Flexible scheduling, again, offering students an opportunity. Perhaps they work during the day, have to come to the program in the evening, but just offering some flexibility in scheduling and how often you offer courses. Technology, we know the importance of technology in any instructional situation, so we ask that you expound on that and the accountability. Projecting your outcomes, data reporting, that's pretty clear and self-explanatory because we have requirements under WIOA for performance reporting, how you propose to report. We have a reporting system and the expectations there. The management information system, here we want to know what software, what program do you use, how do you report, how do you monitor your data, how do you come back and validate that the data that you're submitting to the state is accurate. And again, exposing you to the requirements that applying for the dollars require you to report not only in our national reporting system, your information will be used, but also under the WIOA performance measures. Number 15, actually I skipped 13.A, thank you. The student reporting, I expound on that, that if you're in the implementation phase, we expect actually student level data reporting, depending on the phase that you're in. Evaluating, what's a successful program look like? Number 14, how will you measure success in your program? Again, that ties back to your student enrollment, student completers, and the success in enrolling your students in dual instructional or integrated instructional approaches. As a part of the Department of Education requirement number 15, support for the strategic plan, we've provided here for you links regarding the state of Florida's next generation K to 20 education plan. All of our applicants throughout the agency are required to respond how their program, how their funding will support in the specific area of Just Read Math Science Initiative, as well as our strategic plan. How do you plan to disseminate your program? Let others know about your program, market your program, and the budget narrative. The budget narrative is a very important piece of the application process, and I want you to understand that you do have to submit a document. Not only do you have to write a narrative just explaining how you propose to spend the funds, but you have to submit a form, the DOE 101S, which is further expound on each of the proposed spending categories, a brief narrative, how much you're proposing to spend in that area. If you are purchasing some equipment, you have an expectation to provide us the equipment information related to that as well. Because it's adult education, about 3 years ago, we were all introduced to tuition regarding adult education, which correlates back to the federal requirement of program income. If applicable, you need to submit the necessary information regarding this program, whether you're going to use the addition method or the deduct method, and you submit that to the Department of Education. All programs will be monitored and evaluated by our compliance team. And on page 21 of the request for application provides you the address by which to submit. So please make sure you submit it to the proper address. And because it is a competition, I just spent a little bit more time just encouraging you to make sure you have the right document and submit it to the right location. And submit the right number of copies. It is the responsibility of the submitting agency to submit 7 identical copies of the original proposal. So you have an original plus 7 that should all be submitted to the address shown here on slide 32. That is important because we're going to give the evaluators what you give us. And if for some reason, copy machine jam, you don't have all the necessary pages, the evaluator will evaluate what is in front of them. I will not be able to make copies for you, nor will I be able to add any additional documents beyond what you have submitted in your original application. Slide 33, I think I've already mentioned this, but just to reiterate that it's due by the close of business. You are to submit the appropriate documents by the signature of your agency head or its appropriate designee. If your agency head has authorized someone else to sign on his or her behalf, you should include the letter authorizing that signature. That, too, can disqualify you from participating in the competition. Because of the quick turnaround, we won't have the opportunity to call and search and find out if the signature on the DOE 100A is appropriate. So we're going to check our database. We know who your authorized agency head signature, but you need to put that letter in there if for some reason one of the assistant superintendents, college presidents, sign on behalf of your agency head. And reminder of that tax number that I call the address for the competition. Just a little information regarding the narrative. It's so important that you explain the who, the what, whom, how many, of what kind, what you're proposing to do, because that only helps the evaluator determine if this is an effective use of the dollars and are you spending the dollars for allowable, reasonable, necessary costs associated with this particular fund source. And 35 gives some general examples of some of the things that we've seen in the budget, not limited to these items, but some general items that we typically identify in our budget. If you are a district, you would have function codes only. Colleges, you will have, function codes are only for school district. Object codes for school district and colleges. If you are a private or one of the other providers listed on the eligible applicant list, you must provide us with your chart of accounts. And you'll see that that information is required when you submit your risk assessment document, DOE 620 or the DOE 610. Once you access that document, you will find that there are a list of items that must be submitted with either of those risk assessment documents. And 37, it just reiterates the indirect admin information that's capped at 5%. That's inclusive of both. You cannot go over 5%. Highlights, contract service agreement. If you are contracting with someone to provide any service, professional development, instructional services, then you must submit a draft or a copy of a contract service agreement to ensure that you are meeting the standards of the State of Florida Contracting Grant User Guide. And we've provided a page 11 and 12 that you can look to show, at a minimum, what a good contract should include. 40 informs you that how will you get paid if you're a district or a college. You will be able to access our Florida grant system to pull down your money. If you are one of the other eligible providers and you are selected for funding, then we will have a reimbursement with performance process where you will submit an invoice to us and we will pay you accordingly. All programs are required to submit interim and final DOE 499. It's a financial summary report that is required to be submitted. If you are invoicing us, you will submit those each time you're invoicing. But if you're on the cash system, you will do it at the end. And you also will be recording your expenditures in the cash system. As always, the grant ends June 30th, 2017, for your last day to encumber funds. We know that you will have time to liquidate and close out any proposed expenditures, so we give you about 45 days through August 20th to close out and submit your final DOE 499 with original signatures to our comptroller's office. On slide 42, it mentions that risk assessment document that I mentioned earlier. Either you'll be doing a 610, which is college districts and universities, or governmental, non-governmental entities will be submitting the 620. All of our providers are expected to participate in grant fiscal management training. It's held annually and it's done online. So if you are a new recipient, you will be expected to participate in an online class that speaks on how to implement programs and how the department will manage your program. 43 is really some highlights of some additional things. If you are one of, if you're not a college or a district, here are some additional items that you will be required to submit. These items are also found there in the 620, but we thought it was important just to give you an overview of some of the additional items that you will be required to do. And equipment purchases, some highlights that under the Uniform Grant Guidance document, there are a number of things that govern equipment purchases. Here are some of the requirements that you just need to pay, be cautious to as to when you're purchasing equipment. Some tools and resources that you can use, always refer to the Adult Ed and Family Literacy Act, refer to our Quality Assurance Manual, OMB Circular. So we've listed here some things, and most importantly on the next slide, the department, we often call it the Green Book. It's a very useful guide to help you in the event that you are selected for the funds, how to submit budget amendments, when budget amendments are necessary in regards to changing how you propose to do what you said you were going to do in the original application. At this time, we're going to go ahead and just kind of allow Josue to give you a few highlights, and then we'll come back for question and answers. And we have received a number of questions, so we will read the questions that we've received through our web question portal, and then we'll come back and unmute the phone and allow you to ask a question via the conference call system. Josue?
Hello, I'm Josue Colorado. I'm a program specialist here, and I aid with Ms. Gloria Spradley Brown in writing these requests for applications and requests for proposals that you lovely people are so familiar with. On the following slide, you'll find two links. The first one is the survey that we like to take after every webinar because we like to fine-tune this process and try to make it as best as possible for everybody involved. So if you could please take the time and click on the link and fill out a few questions, and that way you could help us to make this easier for you. The second link, because this is a competition, we always ask for reviewers from your peers. We ask for a diverse demographic of people with various years of experience, different locations. So if you feel this is something you'd want to do, please click and register. Or if you have any questions about the process, please feel free to email me and give me shoot me an email, give me a call, and that way I can explain to you and, you know, hopefully we can get some reviewers to help out with this competition.
Thank you so much. As you look at the attachment section of the request for proposals, we have tried to do a very good job with providing you with all of the necessary tools you would need to submit this application. I just want to take a brief moment to kind of highlight some of the attachments. There are a number of them, but I just wanted to highlight some of those. We provided for you good information, a background regarding career pathways. More specifically, we referenced the IBEST model. And we basically have developed the scope of work of the expectations, looking at what you will be required to submit to us, by what date we will expect those items. So look at the list of goals and the scope of work and the expectation to determine if you are selected to receive these funds, will you be able to meet the deadlines as specified in the application? I think generally between Zelda and myself, we've kind of gone over many of the goals outlined in the scope of work. again, it just further solidify all of the components that we deem are necessary to have a comprehensive program. And the expectation of the final comprehensive report, we've provided for you the new WIOA performance measures on my page 36. If you're in the implementation phase, your information that you submit through our CCTMIS data submission system will be used to submit to the national reporting system or the NRS and or both the WIOA system. And the student data summary form has been updated under WIOA. So you'll see that from last year to this year, there are quite a few added data elements that we are now asking our providers to submit to us. If you're invoicing, we kind of give you an overview of some of the expectations on invoicing for our non-governmental agencies. You'll see the 100A form, and make sure you're using the one that's listed here in the application, revised date July 2015, and the reason, the certification statement box has significantly changed from prior years. So I just want you to caution yourself to using this one because it really states to the person and agency head that any falsification or fraudulent information submitted is subject to criminal or administrative penalties. So we want to make sure that your agency head who's signing this familiar with that language and signing stating that whatever we submit to the Florida Department of Education is going to be truth and accurate information. We also give you an example of what a good budget narrative could consist of. You can use that example. We provide the budget form for the equipment form and a very nice, on my page 49, a checklist. Quite a bit of items on the checklist, but this will help you organize your submission and make sure that you are inclusive of all of the required documents. We don't want you to be excluded from the evaluation process because you left off an important item. With that said, we have, I think, three questions. I'm going to attempt to read them, and then either myself or Zelda will answer the question. Question one reads, the IBEST model allows for funds to be used when adult general education instruction overlap with NCTE. Does the FICAP model also allow for that? The answer is yes. Well, when we say overlap, I'm not sure. Let me define overlap. We've already said to you that CTE teachers should be covered by the instruction of their post-secondary provider. The dollars are to cover our student overlap in the event that a student must enroll in a post-secondary program. We will allow for the adult general funds to cover that. But in most cases, your post-secondary institution will partner with you under the braided funding that Zelda mentioned. They will blend those funds to support student costs. But we need to keep, at this time, our instructional costs separate. And Zelda will also expound on that.
One of the things that you can pay for with your adult ed funds, if the CTE teacher is working with some of your adult ed teachers and you're working on the contextualized curriculum, that time that they spend on that could be used. We asked this question at a meeting last week with our OCTA partners, and this is what they advised us to do. So you need to be careful about what you do spend your adult ed dollars on. Just keeping those lines straight so that if they're over on the CTE side and they're teaching that course, well, then that has to come from post-secondary and not not you, as the adult care provider.
You have to understand that we don't want to get in the area of supplanting. The teachers are already teaching in most cases, unless you're really creating something, a new program, that you want to keep the fund source that was originally supporting the expenditures of those teachers, we want to keep that separate. All right, I'll try and read the next question. It's quite lengthy, so we'll do our best. Last year, some of the FICAP program partnered with the Training for Manufacture Construction program. However, this is not a clock hour program. Is the pure definition of a certification program. Students earn many industry recognized credentials. Will the TRANCOM program be approved for the FICAP integrated program this year?
Last year, this was approved. This year, we're saying that we want them to be enrolled in a CTE program that has a program number and course numbers. So if this is something that you want to discuss further with us, call me and we'll discuss it further. But our goal is that they will be enrolled in a career and technical clock hour program.
Thank you. Is tuition for adult education an allowable expense? Is tuition for adult ed program an allowable expense? The answer is, under barriers in the application, you will see that under adult general education, anything that really supports a barrier to prevent your participant from being successful is a potential allowable support. So when I say tuition, yes, perhaps you could, but many of the programs are using other fund sources, other private donations to help offset the tuition. But if it stood between a participant enrolling in the program and not enrolling in the program, then each institution would have eligibility criteria on when to offer scholarships for students most in need. Delta, any additional comments?
Well, and that is one thing that whenever we've sent out letters in the past on program income, we have encouraged people not to use those funds to pay a student's tuition, you know, to look for other methods to do that.
Can we use the same program income letter, MOU, et cetera, we submitted for the 16-17 RFA? This is a RFP. It is separate. If you note, when you submitted your original letter, program letter, you specified which grant number and grant type you wanted to submit. So we strongly encourage you to submit a new program income letter for this competitive application. Okay, we addressed the question about is this tuition for adult education allowable. We've covered that. Question, can you clarify what you meant by adult general education funds can be used to pay an adult general education student in CTE?
I don't think that's exactly what we said, if I'm interpreting the question correctly. You cannot use adult education funds to pay for that student's tuition into post-secondary education.
It is not recommended. You can't. So if it was stated that way, I do apologize, but you want to keep the fund streams as separate as possible. I think when you work with your partner of post-secondary ed through the blended approach, you will find that they will be more than willing to help support the enrollment of that student. Where do I include my MOUs in the application package? Just include them in the very back, and we will be able to identify those in the competition. I think we have answered all of the questions submitted through the webinar portal at this time. Zelda would like to make one clarifying statement, and then we will take the call off of conference mode and then allow you to ask any questions you would like through the conference call system.
Okay, we did note that there was an error on the PowerPoint. The GED, the JEDI course is 9900136 instead of 130. So, but it is correctly listed in your RFP. One thing that I do want to note, we didn't get a question on this, but if you received a grant last year and this year you would like to apply again, you could expand what you did last year and that you'd be evaluated upon that, so you could apply. Another question that people have asked is, can I apply for the EL Civics and the AGE? And those are two separate competitions, so you could apply for both.
Thank you. At this time, we'll take the phone off of conference mode.
Presentation mode is now disabled.
All right. The call is now open for questions. If we did not address your question through the web portal, you may ask your question at this time. To take your phone off mute, you are to press star 6. With no questions, at this time, we'll go ahead and conclude the conference call. We thank you so much. We look forward to receiving your competitive application, and we look forward to serving you in the current program year. Thank you, and have a wonderful afternoon.